Let us pray. God, we are grateful for your love, your grace, and your mercy that sees us through our days. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that we would hear your still, small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet. It has on one side sermon notes. The other side it has for devotions this week. I set it up a little bit differently for your devotions this week. I really, really encourage you, if you have not used these yet, to use them this week. It ties in very, very closely to learning how to become spiritual giants. Now, there are some classic moments in the movies, shows, or novels where this statement is heard. For instance, in the Pixar animated movie, Finding Nemo, Nemo and his dad, Marlin, are clownfish, and Nemo has one fin that's a little bit smaller than the other. Handicapped, maybe, so to speak. So Marlin is a typical parent and becomes overprotective of Nemo. But Nemo is getting older and trying to push on his boundaries, expand his boundaries in this sense. In this scene, Marlin and Nemo are nearing a boat when Nemo begins to push the boundaries. Marlin says, "Nemo, what do you think you're doing? You're gonna get stuck out there and I'll have to go get you before another fish does. Get back here! Get back here now!" Nemo's fin goes up. "Stop! You make one more move, mister." The fin reaches up. "Don't you dare if you put one fin on that boat. Don't touch the..." And he touches the boat. "Nemo!" And then there is this classic line within it. "Are you listening to me?" And anyone who has ever been in charge of someone else, someone younger, often a child, some spouses think their other spouse falls into this category, will inevitably say in a moment of exasperation, say it with me, "Are you listening to me?" Now, I don't know if you caught it in the scripture reading just now, but let's have some fun for a moment. If you'd open up your Bibles to John chapter 8. I need you to participate. John chapter 8. What page was that? 856. 1664. Oh, in the large print. Most of you have the 8.
868.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. We're good. So there's our picture of Marlin and Nemo. But what I want you to do is I want you to be the Jewish people in this scene. Remember, Jesus is teaching, Jesus is speaking to a group of Jews, some who were religious leaders and some who had come to believe in Jesus. You decide if you're one of the believers or one of the Jewish leaders who are really bucking Jesus, okay? Now, I want you to get into this. Don't just read words on a screen. Ready? Okay, you're the Jews. Okay, we are Abraham. "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in a family, but the son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father."
Abraham is our father.
if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did no such thing. You are doing the works of your own father. Hold it, do it protestingly. If God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? And then Jesus says these words in his final statement. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. Are you listening to me? Imagine Jesus standing before you right now in the church and saying those words. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Boy, that can be quite indicting. How are you hearing from God these days? Through what venue do you hear God most clearly? The Bible? Maybe through prayer. Maybe you hear God in circumstances that happen in your life. Or maybe through the church you hear God's still small voice. It's important to know how you hear from God, because when you hear from God, you have encountered or experienced God. When you hear from God, you have encountered or experienced God. And by all means, we want to hear God because it in part helps to affirm that we belong to God. A concern I have for the church is that too many people today have turned a deaf ear to God, toward God, for so long, or maybe they never really took the time to develop a relationship with God. Maybe they've decided to cocoon themselves within their shell, never to come out, never to break out, to hear God's still small voice. By developing a relationship with God. That God is even saying to his people today, are you listening to me? One of the moments Blackaby makes in his book, Experiencing God, is that there are two factors which are important if you're going to recognize God's activity around you. First, you must be living in an intimate love relationship with God. Hey, I don't know about you, but how do you live in an intimate relationship with someone without being with them? Wanting to be with them all the time. It's that first love. You know what I'm talking about? Thinking of that person all the time. Can't wait to get to see them again. And then the second thing is God must open your spiritual eyes so that he can show you what he's doing. God has to open your spiritual eyes so that you can see what he is doing. Do you ever ask God to help you to see what he is doing? God, what are you doing here? I don't understand. Open my eyes that I can see. There was the Son of God in the midst of the Jews performing miraculous signs, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, feeding thousands of hungry people, and teaching powerful messages directly from God. Yet they couldn't understand that He was God in the flesh, the long-awaited Messiah. There was Jesus standing in the midst of the Jews, announcing to them that He was hearing directly from His Father in heaven, speaking to them what God was telling Him to say. They could not hear God for the distracting noise, though, that was all around them. Whoa, if the King arrived, we would have to follow Him. We would have to know Him more. We would have to embrace Him, love Him, and serve Him if He was the long-awaited Messiah. And all this time He is saying, are you listening to God? Sure, we know in retrospect most of these leaders were too power-hungry, too hung up on their own importance to possibly let their position in the pecking order change. They wanted to be on top. But how about us today? Are we too important in our minds to be willing to bend our wills to the One who created us? Are we too busy in our lives to stop and listen to the One who literally loves us to death? Are we too lazy to spend some time each day to sit and listen to the One who makes eternity, who makes heaven possible for us? Could Jesus be serious about this last comment? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Could He be serious? Because if He is serious about belonging to God, then there is an indicator we belong to God. And you know what that indicator is? That you hear from God. That you hear God. So this begs the question, Pastor, how do we know if we're hearing from God? One of Blackaby's quotes goes like this: if a Christian does not know when God is speaking, he is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. Say that with me. If a Christian does not know when God is speaking, he is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. Are you being called to the principal's office? Are you in trouble, or maybe you're just a little bit unsure if you're belonging to God? I remember back when I was just beginning to really know God, when I had really dedicated my life to God. I was in church and at Sunday school every Sunday. I was committing myself to not just know God, but to love God and to serve God with all of me. And there were a couple of, maybe three ladies who were the types who heard from God on a regular basis. They would even say, at times audibly, oh, and boy, was that attractive to me. I wanted to be one of those persons who heard from God, like Noah, like Abraham, like Moses, a burning bush experience. Wow. Like Peter, like John, like the Apostle Paul. As you read his letters, he's writing from God's heart. The one lady said, when I asked her how to hear from God as she heard from God, she said, well, get your Bible and read some scripture. Kneel by your bed with a notepad and wait for the Lord to speak. And when the Lord spoke to you, write it down. Write it down. I eventually woke up on my knees and not a word on the notepad. When we look at how God spoke to people in the Bible, we note two things immediately. In the Old Testament, God spoke in different ways to people And then after establishing the Israelites, God usually spoke through a prophet or a priest. A prophet or a priest. With Adam and Eve, God walked in the cool of the garden. They talked together. With Noah, God spoke to him about how to build an ark. With Abraham, the angel of the Lord spoke to him a pre-incarnate Jesus. And with Moses, it was through a burning bush. The most important thing is that not that God spoke through a bush or that God walked in the cool of the day. The most important thing in the Old Testament we can see is that God spoke. That God spoke to them. And in the New Testament, which is what we fall under today, God spoke through whom? Through whom?
Jesus.
Through whom?
Jesus.
Jesus, as we saw in this morning's scripture, plainly stated that he speaks only what his Father from heaven gives him to speak. And it is Jesus whom God the Father spoke through to us today. And when Philip asks Jesus, "Show us the Father," Jesus says, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And the bottom line in hearing from God and developing an ear to hear from God is this. Really the same for being able to see God at work. Hearing God begins with an intimate love relationship with God. As Jesus states, he who belongs to God hears what God says. And to really belong, you must spend time with God. The Holy Spirit, still small voice. Some say we hear impressions, we feel God speaking to us through our conscience, or what I would say, speaking to us through our spirit. You can go out and you can birth a child and give that child up for adoption. And somebody else will come along and be that child's parent. Just because you give birth to a child doesn't mean you have an intimate relationship with that child. Just because God created us doesn't automatically mean we have an intimate relationship with the Father. It has to be fostered. It has to be developed over time. It starts like a small seed in a nut. Slowly, the outside layers begin to fall away until all we have left is the meat of the nut, exposed completely to God. What stage are you in? Still keeping a distance from God, are we? Maybe for many Christians, we've breached the outer layer. And now we are more exposed to God. We're more intimate with God. And yet some have said, "God, take all of me. I am listening to what you are saying." Friends, there's one other aspect of hearing from God, and that means is to know God's word. Friends, there's no substitute from hearing from God than to know God's word. Read with me again what Jesus told his disciples. "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." Will do what? Will teach you everything. Everything. Not just some things, but everything. And will what?
Remind you.
Of what? When we become more familiar with God, we become more familiar. We are able to sense the Holy Spirit's movement in our life. His still small voice. Again, some say impression. Some say speaking to our conscience. I say speaking to the Spirit in us. And I bet most of us will remember at some point in life, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, but being taught by someone, a grandparent, a parent, a teacher, something important in life. When we come to a point of doing something that they taught us to do, it's like they are right there whispering in our ears. My dad taught me, spoke to me about opening the doors for ladies. So when I open the door for my wife or my daughter, I'm almost hearing my dad speak to me again. Paul, you always open the door for your daughter or for your wife. When we become more faithful to God's word and are hiding God's word in our hearts, we begin to be able to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, speaking into our minds through the scripture that he spoke to us before in our lives. We must know God's word. No substitute. Because it's the word of God which the Holy Spirit reminds us of. Jesus' words. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus has spoken to us. And again, if we decide not to be in the Word, we surround ourselves with other things so that we don't know the Word. And it makes it more difficult for God to speak into our hearts, for the Holy Spirit to come to us. This gets back to that note you took earlier. When you hear God, you have encountered or experienced God. Who here doesn't want to encounter or experienced God? Well, then if you do, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. It is always right there. And when you read it, you're hearing from God directly. Directly. Ignore the Bible and you are ignoring the opportunity to hear from God, to encounter God, to experience God in your life. If you want the Lord to speak to you, it's not a matter of reading some scripture and kneeling by your bed with a notepad. It's about inviting God to speak to you as you read scripture. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of everything Jesus has said. And as you become more sensitive to the Spirit, people will be asking you, how is it that you hear from God? And I don't. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are once again in awe of who you are. That you have spoken so plainly to us through the scriptures. And we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would draw us all of us this morning, closer to yourself, that you would speak to us. That we may not just know you, but that we may love you and serve you more deeply with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.